Hello and welcome to the Greg Fearon podcast with your host Greg Fearon, and back for the second time is Fidel Buhil, the kingmaker, is back to talk about FOMO, relationship, and what goes on in men's heads for the ladies out there as well. So yeah, let's just crack in, Fidel. Just give us a very quick background of you, and then we'll talk about where we were talking before the podcast started.
It always happens with podcasts, doesn't it? Whenever you get on and you start chatting to people before you press the record button, we always dive straight into the interesting stuff. My name is Fidel Bohill. I am the modern man coach, aka the Kingmaker. I'm a life and relationship coach for men. Part of what we were just discussing there was about kind of niching and marketing and all of that sort of stuff. And I think I talk about divorce. I wrote a very successful book, Divorce: The Modern Man's Guide. But I end up working with a lot of men prior to that happening, which is fantastic. It's where I really like to operate. But again, as we were talking about, and you'll know in your work, like everything is really interconnected. And when you start getting into coaching people and helping people, it's what's going on between their ears, their limiting beliefs, how they can figure out processes and thought processes and life processes, right, that actually work for them as an individual, right? And that stuff spills into all the different areas of the life. The rest is just marketing, right? The rest is just picking a point that people can resonate with, and areas of expertise as well, right? Don't get me wrong, but I qualified as a PT, but it's by no stretch of the imagination my area of expertise when it comes to helping other people. However, my clients lose weight and get fitter, right? They do, because it's all connected. When you start to feel better about yourself, when you learn about yourself, when you have a heightened level of self-awareness, right? And you learn to have boundaries, and you learn where your weak spots are, your limiting beliefs are, and everything else like that. It positively impacts your relationships, your business, your health, all of those things. And I was pondering that this morning, really, really kind of diving in on it about kind of success and happiness. This is to do with your area of work as well. I think I was thinking about kind of balance, right? And how so few people, I'll tell you why, because I had a McDonald's breakfast this morning, right?
Oh my God, you can't eat that. No. What? No. Oh
Right?
my God.
Right? Exactly. And I think of how many people, like how I would perhaps be achieved. And I was thinking about other guys, who just would never touch anything like that. And their stuff is really strict and regimented, like throughout their life. And I was thinking, look, why I was doing it. And I have just been through a very strict and regimented process because I had a boxing match recently. So I spent since the new year, chicken and broccoli and rice, right? Getting my weight down, eating what works for me in terms of maintaining my energy levels and everything else like that, but not a lot of fun, right? Which for me
That weird.
isn't sustainable. I know I'm capable of doing that when I need to, if I wanted to achieve something specific. When we look at a kind of sustainable lifestyle, it's about balance. I drink alcohol, I go out on nights out, I enjoy the odd McDonald's, the pizza. Do you know what I mean? The day, like, days lying around in bed. I don't train 6 or 7 days a week, but I'm fit and healthy. I don't have a six pack, but I am fit and healthy, right? I am capable in all the ways that I want to be capable in. I can fight. I can run with my kids. I can walk up a flight of stairs without
Can throw
fear.
the missus around the room.
I can throw the missus around the room. I look all right in clothes. All of this stuff. Like at the level that I want to be at, I'm good. But my level of satisfaction and happiness comes from the ability to be balanced in all the in those areas, right? My happiness is dependent on the fact that I can drink a glass of wine without me then going on an 8 week pretty alcoholic binge. Like, I don't need to drink alcohol every day. I don't need to eat pizzas every day. I don't need to eat McDonald's every week. Like, that's not what I need to do, but I do have them occasionally. And I was thinking about how many people can't manage that balance very well, and why.
And does that go back to the FOMO thing? Because let's take your world as, I guess, we've got all these apps now. We've got Tinder, Bumble, all these apps.
Wow, yeah, they cause trouble, don't they?
Oh, they're too much trouble, but people are probably on all of them and they're on TikTok. And is that
Yeah, so FOMO is a thing, and it is with all of this stuff, right? I think as soon as we tell ourselves we can't have something or can't do something, right, we immediately kind of want it, and that initiates an internal struggle, and that's a real natural basic human drive, right? The other issue with FOMO is when we have so many options, when we pick one, all we want is the other stuff, right? Or we wonder what it would be like. And so therefore the paradox of choice, right? Therefore, a wider range of choice actually leads to less happiness. And we have that with food, and we have that with health, and we have that with relationships these days, right? And access to all of those things. I think what it really comes down to, though, is about being decisive. I think really why people don't manage this stuff very well is because they make too many decisions in the moment. Right? It's like you go to the supermarket when you're hungry is a really bad idea because you're making a decision in the moment of hunger. Whereas really that decision needed to be made after you've had your Sunday lunch or whatever, and you're feeling chilled and you're feeling happy and you're feeling satiated, right? And you go online and you order your shopping, and that's done in line with your goals and the things you want to achieve and your health values, right? And where you want to be long term and all of that. And you're not in a moment of requirement. Okay. Likewise, when you're dating, when people talk about taking some time out and learning how to love yourself and be content and happy with who you are, originally you're not doing it in a moment of need, right? When you're in need, when you're feeling lonely or you're feeling sad or whatever, or disconnected, the worst thing, last thing you want to do is start swiping, right?
But
Because you're going to make bad choices.
people do that
You're
and just
just going to go for availability,
stop.
right? Or you're feeling horny or whatever, you're going to go for somebody who ticks that box, but not necessarily ticks the box of long-term compatibility, but ticks the box of scratching that specific itch, right?
So
So,
I was going to say, so is this because people don't really know what they really want at the big end of everything? Like I talk about
sure.
setting with my clients, and a lot of people don't, they can't really work out what the dream is because they're so reactive to how life treats them.
Exactly. Well, and as you know, my process, values, vision, goals, most of the time I ask a guy when we start work, what do you want? What do you need? They can't give me an answer to that, especially for men, right? I think a lot of men, a lot of women don't agree with this because their experience of how this is manifested with the guys that they've engaged with hasn't necessarily felt this way for them. But most men live in a state of provision and trying to make everybody else happy, right? So as a young man, it's like, okay, well, how I need to buy this house to make my kids happy, to make my wife happy, da 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 da, right? It's all about wanting to make my boss happy. It's all about doing things for other people. I think women do this too, right? But we do it very differently. And so for a lot of guys, you ask them what success is, it's all about other people's happiness.
Emily, my father looks good. It might have
Yeah.
out of me, all that stuff.
Yeah. And the problem with that is then you get layers of resentment that are built up, and also you get a dip in motivation because it's not about them. There's nothing in there that's lighting their fire up, that there's no actual tangible reward for them. And so, yeah, you need to know what is important to you. You need to know where you want to be long term in life. And you need to have a plan of how you're going to get there, right? You need to have some structure.
Can't say that word or discipline. No, can't say that.
Listen, man, freedom without structure is chaos, right? It's anarchy. So you have to have frame around it. People don't like the idea of it. They seem to think that structure clips their wings or is impacting their happiness, is actually the total opposite. Humans need frame, we need structure, we need routine, we need stuff in order for us to function at our best. Without it, that it's not freedom. It's not freedom.
Well, even biologically, we all run on rhythm. Women especially run on
Right.
rhythms. We wake up, the sun comes out, we get the cortisol spike, we wake up, we move. Everything's in rhythm. So why wouldn't we have the rest of our lives in alignment with that?
For sure. And here's the best thing, you know, we do live in a world, and this is part of the problem again, that we can pretty much choose a much of how our own structure is formed, right? So that is freedom. We can choose what that routine looks like for the most part. We're not even living in a 9-to-5 world anymore for most people now, post-COVID, right? We can work at home, we can choose our hour. And the thing is that this stuff is causing disruption. It sounds like it's causing happiness for most people, but actually it's causing a lot of disruption because most people don't know how to make those decisions correctly. They don't know how to set out their day. They don't know how to implement meal prep and shopping and all of that in a structured format way. So they wandering around doing what they feel like. And that often leads to longer term unhappiness and dissatisfaction.
Problems. I
Even
had.
though it feels nice at the time.
Oh yeah, it scratches that immediate itch. It makes us feel validated. Opening it, totally agree. But then there's always a consequence to any action, right?
Yeah, and this falls into the stuff I teach, right? The masculine and the feminine. We need a balance of both.
Mm-hmm.
The feminine is being, the masculine is doing. The masculine provides the structure, and within it, the feminine can provide the inspiration and the flow and the fluidity. But we need that masculine structure around it, and we're capable of doing that with for ourselves, right? Internally, both men and women, you know, the guys are perfectly capable of providing that structure. What a lot of men then lack, though, is the flow within that, right? And the fun and the laughter, as we were just talking about, right? Guys take it all quite seriously, and they can be quite rigid within it, and they have to have those rules right down to the nth degree. And I guess a lot of women suffer from the other problem, which is doing a lot more what they feel and engaging with that element for more. What we're actually looking for everybody is a balance, and it's cool if you can do that in conjunction with another human, but we also need to be able to do it within ourselves as well.
I'm going to be controversial here.
Go
So,
for
for the listeners, I'm trying to wean myself off TikTok. It's dangerous. TikTok is dangerous.
it.
But I've seen a lot of posts where a lot of women were talking about their men don't do chores around the house. That was making them feel really frustrated. So I'm sure a lot of the ladies will be listening, going, "Yeah, this is me. You know, we both work, got the kids, or maybe not have kids, but he doesn't do as much of the housework stuff as I do. So I feel undervalued." And it was really interesting. So I asked a woman, you know, "Do you make your son do chores at home?" And she said, "No." And I was like, "Okay." In a Jamaican household, you do chores from the minute you can walk, like you learn to do stuff. But if we're not showing our kids how to do it, then obviously you can see how generationally it's just become a thing where a lot of men just don't engage in that stuff. So what advice or help could you give the ladies in that area or get them to understand about why these things happen?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? The whole thing about the sons and daughters thing, what I've tend to see, certainly in our generation, is that a lot more men are capable of running a household on their own than women in terms of neatness, tidiness, and chores and everything else like that. You know, when I was dating, I went around to a lot of single women's houses, and I look at the way that I kept mine. And it was a lot more together than a lot of women's. I used to live in Benidorm, right? Years and years and years and years ago. And you go and have a look at lads on tour who arrive in their holiday apartment or whatever, and you compare that to the girls on tour's apartment, right? Oh
They cut
man,
everywhere.
right?
Yeah.
Just knickers and lipstick and everything, just their shoes out, just they just like turn up and just turn all their bags upside down. Whereas the lads will turn up and they'll either keep everything in the bag or they'll put it away in the drawers or whatever before they go out on a piss. And they're it will always be a little bit neat and tidy. So I don't know where these things come from. I think we still have that traditional setup in our minds, though, that when a man and a woman get married, that the man's overriding focus is on provision and the finances, and the woman's overriding sort of role will be maintaining the house. Now, the problem that we've got here is, like you said, a lot of women are now going out to work, And a lot of guys are also suffering from the expectation that not only are they supposed to be in charge of provision, but now modern man also has to be a great dad. Do you know what I mean? And does have to do this stuff around the house and everything. And we're both men and women in the modern era are left feeling fairly torn, right, and guilty, and stuff. And our behavior still seeps out subconsciously, right? Because we're still trying to get our needs met and trying to make ourselves happy, but we're not doing it consciously. It's a difficult one, and the answer really lies with communication and how we talk about this and tapping into the responsibility. I think it's easy to just chuck the mud at men and go, "Oh, they don't do the housework," right? And we talk about the mental load and how that falls on women of the domestic thing. But from all of the guys that I worked with, and including myself, which ended up with me being in hospital with a panic attack and led to why I do what I do, was because the weight and the mental load of provision did fall on me. Although my partner worked and brought in money, the weight of the responsibility of the mortgage and the food and everything else like that fell on her less. The weight of making sure the children got to school and they were washed and fed rested with her. But the weight of the overall provision for the household and the maintenance of our lifestyle absolutely weighed heavier on me than it did on her.
That totally makes sense. And I guess traditionally we, especially our generation, we've seen where our mums necessarily didn't always work full time or work part time or, but obviously that's now changed. But what we've seen for years and what we've learned from is dad used to go out and work, mum used to be home or maybe part time. So therefore there was that balance and it was okay. But now everybody's got to work. That's why it shifted.
Yeah, and we're seeing a bit of a call now to try and flip it back a little bit, and I'm not sure how well that's going to pan out for everybody. We shall see. Where women seem to be stepping into this role, female millionaires are one of the highest growing parts of the economy. It's a growing thing since COVID, since being able to work at home, since being able to be more creative, since being able to balance life in a little less of a structured way, right? 9 to 5 is a very masculine system. All right. It suits men more with that order and structure. Now we're moving away from that. We're moving into a more feminine way of being, which is, I'm going to wake up, have my coffee, drop the kids off, do a bit of work in between, da, 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 like, and still be able to run very successful businesses because of the technology and everything else like that is allowing us to operate in a very different way. It's now making room for a more feminine way of doing business and making money. And women are stepping up, becoming very successful. And I'm working with a lot of partners of very successful women because of the issues that that creates within the relationship now, because that weight of provision or the credit that comes with that has been taken from their guys, and their partners really, really struggle with that, and it does impact the sexuality and the chemistry and everything else like that within the relationship. And it requires some attention, some special thought processes for sure.
Tell me more about the sexuality and the chemistry. That's the juicy bit that everyone wants to hear about. So how
Yeah,
does that have an impact? No, this is a big question, right? Because
it is a big question, and it's important for your listeners as well, because I know that women are really interested and intrigued, and I work also with quite a few women and how to overcome this problem, single ones mainly. So I think a lot of people get relationship dynamics and attraction dynamics confused. Okay, so they think that what they're doing shouldn't, they should still be having great attraction with their partner because what they're doing is being great at relationship, right? They're showing up every day, they're paying the bills, they're doing the work, they're keeping the house clean, whatever, men or women, whatever it is that they think that is good to have a healthy relationship, they're doing that and they're wondering why they're not having sex as much as they used to. So that's one thing. Whereas attraction dynamics is a totally different thing, right? Attract the difference between what we need for a healthy relationship is a balance between security, right, and desire. And by their very nature, those two things require almost, they're almost opposite. So in order for us to have a successful long-term relationship, we need to feel safe, right?
Yeah, and
And
structure,
secure,
know where we are. Yeah.
right? And in order to, and that comes from knowing that you possess something, that you have something, you feel safe, right? Because something is the way it is and you trust that it's always going to be there. However, desire comes from not having something,
Right, okay.
right? When something is just out of reach, you can't desire it if we already possess it.
True.
So how do we do that? How do we combine those two things? How do we walk that line in a long-term relationship? Right? How do we create desire in something that is stable and predictable?
Wow. How do you tell us more? How?
this is about a couple of things. So communication is one thing. How do we talk about this? How do, like, it's very British. We don't talk about sex. We don't like to ask for our needs to be met. We like to think that in relationship, everything happens at a subconscious, telepathic level, that our partner should just know, right,
Men
what we
can't do
want and
that.
how to do
Ladies, we can't do
it.
that. Like we
Listen,
will
guys are just as bad for that too, right?
probably. I think men just talk about it more. We're like, "Are you okay?" And the woman might be like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And we know there's something wrong, but we're like, "Sugar, what did I do yesterday? What did I do the day before?"
But
That.
what a rubbish question. And one of the things that I teach my guys is not to ask that. One of the things is we ask, how are you feeling? Question number one, how can I help you to feel differently? So that there's no judgment, right? And we're getting our female partners to step into their femininity. Actually, what most men ask is, like, why are you doing that? What do you want me to do? What should we do? Very masculine questions. And we're by just doing that, we're putting our female partners into their masculine energy just to be able to respond. Because actually what we want is our female partners to be in their emotion, to be in their feelings, right? And then we can apply our masculine frame and logic and processes to that once they've expressed themselves. So we have to learn A, how to ask that correct question, and B, how to then listen and be with the answers, because we might not understand that. If we get an emotional answer back, a lot of guys are just like, yeah, but what does that mean? How do I think? What do you want me to do? How do I fix it? A lot of guys are like, well, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? I mean, that are you okay is just, I just want you to tell me that it's all right and I don't have to do anything, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's very true. Yeah.
It's a lame question that isn't really looking for an answer.
No, it's not just a real answer. We just want to be able to go, okay, if I do this quick thing, it's sorted and it's done. I don't have
Yeah,
to.
sorted, right? You're happy. We can get back to baseline, right? Which is where men like to be, just this baseline. And we will never, working with women, as you were talking about, right? Men will never be able to empathize fully with what it's like to live in a female body,
Never.
right? We do not have those cycles and monthly hormones and everything else that we have testosterone, right? Which can make us cranky, basically angry and aggressive and drive us to do stuff. But unless our testosterone is spiked, we're pretty flatlined, right? We just want some peace and quiet, everything to be settled. And we always want to bring everything back to that, because that's the frame, right? That's the anchor. Now, within that, we have the feminine, which is the, I'm going to use the word chaos, but people have a negative connotation of that, but it really shouldn't be. It's the movement, the flow, the creativity, and all of that. And that's because of the circles, right? The cycles that women go on. We will never know what it's like to just wake up and want to cry,
No.
right? Or whatever, because, the sky is purple or something. Do you know what I mean? Or there's a sunset or something like that. We just don't experience things like that. So yeah, we need to be able to sit with the answer to that. How are you feeling, right? And be ready for it to be a roller coaster, right? Without jumping on it and without trying to fix it.
And that's the
We
hard
need
bit
to be
for.
able to, yes, it's a really hard part, right? Because what we do is we judge it. So if a woman says, "Oh, do you know what? I'm feeling really sad today," we're like, "Oh shit, I've got to buy her a puppy, right? We've got to cheer her up." It's actually her sadness isn't a problem that needs to be solved, right? It's just she's feeling sad today because that's where she is on her monthly cycle, perhaps, right? And the
And
worst thing
it's
we can
us.
do is try and fix it, because what we're essentially then saying is, you are a problem. Your emotions are a problem for me.
And we just want to fix it. We're just like, what can we do? Because we don't even know if it's about us. It could have been Rita at the printer, HR today,
Totally.
pissed you off. And we're thinking, the minute we hear or we see that they're not okay, we're like, oh, what did I
Yeah.
do? We start thinking, what did I do yesterday? Did I forget her birthday? Did I forget something?
But again, you've just gone that it's not okay. The reason why they're not okay. Sad is okay. Angry is okay. It's all okay, right? We perceive it as being negative, but it's not.
Just
And again, we what you just did there is a classic as well. And listen, it's I'd still do it too, so I'm not pretending to be perfect here. Is we also when we see men experience emotional ups and downs because of external events, right? We only feel these things because of stuff that's happened externally, whereas women can feel these extremes of emotion just sitting in a room on their own. And we don't understand that, right? So, like you just said, it might not be anything to do with us, but it could be because of this. It could just be they just feel sad because that's what their hormones are doing at the moment, right? And we just can't really wrap our heads around that. And we don't have to, right? We don't have to understand that. We just have to accept it. And I say to a lot of guys, we need to stop trying to understand women. And what we need to do is understand ourselves in relation to women.
Makes
So
sense.
our job is about acceptance. And now, how can I provide the container to allow her to experience her emotions in safety without judgment?
Got it. Makes sense.
So
Nice.
how do you feel? Can I help you feel to feel differently? Is an offer, right? How can I help you to feel differently? And they might say, you can't, I don't want you to. And you're like, okay.
I care much in football.
Yeah, right.
No, that makes sense. That makes total sense. All the women are taking notes, going, right, I need to get my husband to do that. So
yeah.
you're like, yes. Okay, this is what I need to get him to speak to Fidel. Perfect. And it's funny because as a coach who coaches women, I guess one of the things I've always struggled a little bit by is wondering, are my clients okay? And what I've had to learn to accept is exactly that, that they might not be doing so well on in nutrition or whatever, not because of something I haven't done as a coach, but actually just what's going on for them. And that's been a big learning for me throughout my journey for sure.
Yeah.
How do, because what I guess one of the big things women talk about is that men don't open up emotionally. I want a man to be emotional with me and open up about themselves. But often I've got friends who are guys who are like, if I reveal my emotions, I hear about it for the next 10 years. So what is that piece about?
Wow. There's a few different parts to that bit. I'm going to say something really controversial that's probably going to catch me some fire from your listeners.
Say it.
And that is because of the a woman in her feminist. So we're both, let me frame it properly first. So both men and women can access their masculine and their feminine energies. And when we're in our femininity, so part of that feminine is the emotional aspect, right? And so a lot of women who sit in their feminine energy, that moment by moment and the changing feelings that happen within them mean that quite often women don't know what they want. And that isn't saying that they're stupid, right? But that's not what I mean. I mean, when we are in that, when we are being led by our feelings, right, which isn't a bad thing. That is changeable, right? It is mood, time, situational dependent. Okay, so the masculine part of who we are is much better at creating that long distance, long term, what is good for the relationship, what is good for me, okay, how are we going to get their goals and all of this sort of stuff and sticking to that structure. So I just wanted to frame that part first because when women say they want their men to open up, I don't believe that most of the time they actually know that they really do want that. They think they do. Because for women, how we are biologically designed, we haven't changed in about 3.5 million years, right? Human beings are still hardwired. Our operating systems, our brains, our biology, and our neurology is designed for to live in a very different way to how we are now. And women are designed for their safety to be more connected to each other, right? For their survival. Men are more designed to be in much smaller groups, to be silent, to communicate less, because we would be out hunting or protecting, lying in wait, going into battle, and all of those sort of things. We can be quieter. Our emotions are not as connected to our mouths, right? We still have emotions, but then it's not about expressing them all of the time. And so, but women are designed to feel connected when they feel when emotions are expressed, right? That's how they view connectivity. So that because that's what they do with their female friends, and they love that feeling with their female friends. That I was on the tube the other day. I came down to London the other day, as you know, and I was really fascinated by watching the difference between how groups and particularly pairs of females friends moved around each other compared to male friends on the tube.
Mirara, all that
They
stuff.
were holding hands. They were like staring at it. It was almost like they were in love with each other, right? Women, they were so connected. And I saw several, like you could tell they were besties. They might have been on an adventure to London for the day. Do you know what I mean? And they were like standing on the escalators, like looking into each other's eyes, really close, really intimate, in each other's space, right? Touching each other. Looking out for each other. I saw lots of pairs of females holding the door open for each other and like making sure that the other one got on the tube on time and all of this sort of stuff. Men, totally different, right? Space between them, right? Just about touching each other. But there was still camaraderie there, but it was at much more of a distance. Still comfort, still brotherhood, right? And you knew if it went down, the other one would be there for the other, but it didn't need continuous, connection for that. There was already an unwritten said thing, and I think that's it. And I think, God, that must feel wonderful. You'd look how happy these women were to be in each other's spaces and to be that connected and to be that expressive with each other, right? And all they want to do then is have that same thing with their man. But what they do if that actually happens is they turn their man into a girlfriend. And when we talk about the difference between relationship dynamics and attraction dynamics, they will immediately kill the attraction dynamics by doing that.
Got it.
Because when we're looking at attraction dynamics, what we actually need to create attraction is difference,
Yes.
not similarity. Because what we're designed to do is pull two types of DNA, right? Two different lots of skill sets and everything else like that to create a baby that has the best of both worlds. That's what attraction is all about. It's about making babies, right? We forget about that in the modern world. That's basically what we're designed to do, is just reproduce. And so all of our attraction, neurology and biology is designed to just find someone that's quite different to us, right? So that we have a baby that makes the best of both worlds.
Makes
The
sense.
polarity, the yin and the yang, right? So if we make somebody the same as us, we'll immediately lose attraction. Well, not immediately, but over time, the attraction will die. So women, be careful what you wish for. There is some power in a man being able to express himself and say how he is feeling and being connected with his emotions. But what for a long lasting harmony in the relationship, you don't want them to just kind of like to bear all and tell you all about their weaknesses and everything else like that. You really don't. You will lose attraction for them in the moment and the coming weeks. If they do that, what you want to do is for guys to have support networks outside of the relationship, so whether that's a coach or a therapist or just his friends, where he's able to process, or even just meditation, right? We're really good at doing it internally, and I think we lose a lot of that. Men can process their stuff internally a lot better. So as long as the male partner has a way of processing those emotions on a healthy level, and is able to then express them, say, look. When this happens, I feel like this, and here is a solution. So perhaps you can help me with it, right? When you do that, I feel really angry when you do that, and so I'd prefer it if you didn't. Or this makes me feel proud. I really enjoy it when you do this or this for me or whatever. it's what really women really want. Here's the solution. Here's how I've figured it out. This is how I feel. Here's how you can help support me to go out and be a better man out in the world. And that's really maintains that healthy dynamic.
Awesome. You're just dropping some bombs today. Just dropping some bombs. And one of my favorite parts about your social media is the ones where you drop the posts, which are men, what are the three things that you want to know more about women, and then you do the opposite.
Yeah.
So what are the biggest things that come up that men get pissed off about with their ladies, and what's the biggest things that ladies get pissed off with their men that you've seen?
The big, well, I keep coming back to it, and the real answer to this is communication, right? It comes time and time and time and time and time and time again, right? People go, "What's the secret to a great relationship?" And the answer always, everybody always assumes or says, is communication. You know, what we're missing is that men and women are constantly communicating, right? But we're doing it differently. It's not that your man isn't communicating with you. It's not that your woman isn't communicating with you. It's just that they're doing it in a language that you don't understand. 80% of communication is done non-verbally as well. So are we present? Are we reading the cues? Right? And in this day and age, people are less and less present, right? When you're having those conversations, when you're in your partner's presence, are you paying attention to her or are you on your phone? Are you, as you alluded to earlier, are you watching the football? Are you in your mind at work the next day? Are you solving problems that aren't
There.
happening right now? Or are you paying attention? Right? Are you learning about your partner? Are you reading her body language? Are you reading her energy? Are you connected to your energy? Are you aware of the messages that you're putting out? Right? Are you, but women can tell if we've layered up a load of resentment and we become disconnected from her. They know that. They can feel it. They can't put their finger on it, but they know that.
Yeah, your body
Right?
language.
And that leads them to feel unsafe, right? Which leads them to then nagging you, to shit testing you, to doing things to try and get your attentions and try and bring about reconnection.
Yeah, to
Men don't understand that.
gain.
Women don't either, right? They don't even understand why they're doing it.
It just happens, right?
It happens
So
naturally,
naturally.
and it happens naturally. And a lot of women I know who shit test their guys or moan or nag them don't want to do that. And they're not understanding how their own behavior is contributing to that. But this is the main problem at a societal level and an individual level, is that we both continually, there's a problem. We both continually then point the finger at the other lot. And that happens within individual relationships. And that's happening now at a societal level where men are going, it's women's fault. Women are going, well, it's all the men's fault. And actually, what we need to do is spend a bit more time looking at ourselves, how we're contributing to that. If we then know 100% that we've done all we can, then the question is, are we with the right person?
For sure. So almost what you're saying is that if we really dial down on the communication, it's a little bit like what I do, right? If you really hone in your nutrition, there's no other big secrets. Hone in your nutrition, generally the weight comes off. It's magic. So if you hone in your communication, then your relationship is going to get better.
Absolutely. I'm going to step it back one more layer from communication and say presence. Are you there? Right? Are you present? Are you aware of yourself and your partner? Let's up that level of awareness. We can only gain awareness when we're present in the moment. So presence is the key. When we're present for ourselves and for the other person, we're going to communicate better. We're going to know what we want. We're going to know what we need. We're going to be connected with how we feel, right? We're going to be paying attention to the other person. We're going to notice how our behavior and our words impact the other person when we're present in a conversation. If we're looking at our phone and saying words out of our mouths that are landing in another person's ear who is also on their phone, that ain't going to work.
No, never. Never.
A lot of people say their only time together as a couple is when they sit on the sofa watching TV together, which is a nice thing to do. But if that's the only time you're spending together, if you're not spending time disconnected from these external stimulants, right? Looking into each other's eyes and asking each other relevant questions and expressing yourselves, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and things like play fighting and just going for a walk together, like, because that way
Yeah.
there's no TV, there's no phone, because you're classic, someone's on the phone, someone's watching TV. That's hours lost just communicating and talking and understanding each other, for sure.
Yep.
So I got one last question for you today. And I know our discussions can go. Do you think social media, the likes of things like TikTok now, Instagram, where you've got these big content creators coming out and saying, well, men, this, oh, and the guys just grew back, fit and fresh. I don't know if you've ever heard about their podcast. It was a real toxic masculinity type podcast, but then you've got the opposite side where men ain't shit and all of that stuff. Do you think social media has given voices to people that are just in just destroying relationships and making big camps really against each other?
I think that's one part of it. I think social media actually is, but it's also given voice to a lot of normal people. I was listening to a brilliant podcast. Ruth Goodsey reminded me of it the other day. So I listened to Russell Brand and Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's podcast, where he had Russell Brand on recently. And actually, let's look at that, right? We've now got really intelligent, amazing, normal people, right, who have no, there's no power behind them, that are able to have discourse about important things that are going on in the world. And yes, it comes with dangers, right, because it comes with idiots, right, who don't really know what they're talking about. The responsibility still lies with us, with the listeners, to do our due diligence as to who we're listening to and why we're drawn to them, right? Are they just saying what we want to hear? Are we just looking for confirmation of our existing beliefs, or are we trying to learn new stuff? Are we listening to people who are allowing us to stay where we are? Or are we listening to people who are stretching our thoughts and questioning our beliefs and allowing us to do that, and therefore allowing us to grow and challenge? Or are we listening to people who are coming from a place of love, right, and positivity? Or are we listening to people who are being reductive, and are coming from a place of closed mindedness and wanting us to sort of move backwards, or are they coming from a place of just wanting to make money and so forth? I mean, I've got a real bee in my bonnet about all of the women that are suddenly jumping on the men's rights bandwagon and the red pill stuff. We've got a lot of women here who are just controversially coming, and then they're basically pretty young women in their early 20s, and they're going, yeah, men deserve this, the men deserve that. Listen, they don't can care less about how a middle-aged man is feeling. They could not care less. What they care about is the amount of likes they're getting on TikTok from all the thirsty men out there that just want to be connected to a pretty young woman. Listen, I can't knock them for that, but come on, guys, like, wise up a little bit. And then, I don't know. So yeah, there's a few things that obviously we all get frustrated with. A lot of blame can be laid at the foot of the platforms, but it's like McDonald's, isn't it? It's the same with all of it. It's like, is the blame with McDonald's, or do am I going to take personal responsibility for how often I go there? Is TikTok the problem? Yes, there's some problems. Is it? We don't know yet fully, right? The real impact, negative or positive. But I remember when I was a kid, my mum telling me that I was watching too much TV and my eyes would turn square and it would make me stupid. It didn't do any of those things, right? And we're saying the same thing to the kids now about social media. I don't know that it is. So who knows is the real answer to that. I think it all comes down to how we use it. It's just a tool. How we use it is on us.
So the bottom line is take responsibility for what you ingest, food wise, what you ingest through your mind, everything is your responsibility.
It is, and that doesn't, listen, that doesn't negate the responsibility of these platforms and providers and businesses and everything else like that. It doesn't. Right, they also have a responsibility. They do have power. Us humans are very subconscious beings. We like to run on rails if we can as often as possible, and they know this, and so they it's kind of, they've got some cheat codes, right, to our subconscious. They know how to play us, but it's our job to protect ourselves from that, right, to become more self-aware, to learn how our mind works, to understand neurology and biology and the human behavior and all of that, and to be coached and to have therapy, right? That is our responsibility as well. And yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure, as usual.
As always, yeah.
Have you got any programs coming up?
Yeah, we are just about to. I'm just on my little list of three things I would need to do today is start. We're going to begin the launch for the next round of Council of Kings next few
That
week,
program
hopefully.
is fire. Fire program.
Yeah,
Yeah, get your man on it.
I've got to make some decisions about that today. I've got to decide whether I'm going to run it slightly differently this time around or not. I've got I'm running my business mastermind at the moment, so I've got that on Monday, face to face, the first day we're all going to hang out together. But yeah, at the moment, that's it. Council of Kings coming up,
Awesome.
and working with me one to one, which is my greatest joy.
Yeah, that's my joy as well. So just let me have one more question, which was,
Go for it.
has keeping your body in shape impacted your life in a positive or negative way?
Yeah. Okay. Controversially, I don't think you can be unhealthy and happy at the same time.
Truth right there, I think. I agree. I agree.
And so the elements of our health that are within our control, right? Some of it isn't, you know, some of us have hereditary issues, some of us have, you know, sickness and other issues. But to impact our health as positively as we can with the bits that we can control, and that means our movement, our nutrition, our hydration, and our mental health as well. You know, our mental health, and a lot of it is really simple. But humans are intelligent monkeys that use their wisdom to overcomplicate everything, right? We all
Yeah.
know what it takes: is drink more water, move more, eat less shit. Right? It's not difficult.
Go to bed on time, you know.
Yeah, sleep more. You know, there's a few little pillars there, but we like to make it way more complicated with all our stuff and our baggage. So yeah, but it's the foundation of it really for me. I think humans that are fitter and healthier are more likely to be happier.
I think you just dropped it perfectly there. Where can we find you? Where can we stalk you, understand your stuff?
The best place to find me is on Facebook. Just search me up, Fidel Bohill. I am the only one in the entire world with that name, so I'm pretty easy to find. LinkedIn, likewise, I'm going to be doing more and more on there for now. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram. I'm the Modern Man Coach. Stick that into Google and you'll find me all over the place.
Awesome. So, ladies listening, get your guys to hunt Fidel out. And I'm sure you've done a Queen Maker program once before.
I keep toying with doing it again as well. Yeah,
Whoa.
I do work with women, very specific women. I can help women with specific problems. Particularly, I like working with women who haven't experienced what it's like to have a clean masculine container to hold space for them. So if bad relationships with dad, bad ex-husbands and stuff like that haven't worked out, and if they don't trust men very much, I provide a really unique container for them to explore their own connection with their femininity in that way. So yeah.
Awesome. So, ladies, if you want to become a queen, go see the Kingmaker. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure as
Thanks,
always.
Greg.
And I'm sure there's going to be a part three at some point. So, we'll catch up soon.
Always ready for that.
Thank you very much. And if you're listening,
Cheers, brother.
leave a review and share this podcast with as many women as possible who need to hear this stuff for their men. Talk to you soon. Bye.